that is uplifting, and it is uplifting. It is exciting. And if you'll hear what Pastor's got to say today, your life will be changed. Your life will be changed. Matthew chapter number 5, starting at verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Anybody seeing a pattern here? "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Whew. I want to preach for you just for a little while on this topic. Blessed is. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask you to walk through this house. I'm asking you to go up and down every aisle, every pew, to every individual that's sitting here today, and help them to grasp and understand a little bit deeper the concept of what you came to do and the purpose of it, that we might know you in a real way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This particular passage of Scripture, Jesus has now come on the scene with his power, his authority. Miracles have begun to take place. He's already went up and he's been tempted by the devil. He went through his time of fasting and prayer, and he started to choose his disciples. But now these disciples are there around him, and he takes them up to a place and he begins to open their understanding. We know this chapter is called and referred to as the Beatitudes. It's something that we look at and we say, well, we should be peacemakers. We should be humble. We should be meek. We should be kind. We should have these. We should hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those are all good things. But Jesus was trying to get into his disciples something that was a deeper concept. Was trying to get into their minds that with everything that you implement into your life that costs you something, there also is a promise and a blessing that goes with it. Inside the heart of every man, in that battle that fights inside, is a struggle and a tussle. And it seems oftentimes to live for Christ, it seems like we want to measure out, what's this going to cost me? We're not used to being given more than what we paid for. Can I get an amen in the house? We're not used to somebody looking us in the eye and we shake their hand and they say, well, we know you did this, but we're going to give you this and this and this and this and this and this. And pretty soon you look back and you think, whoo, I got more than I bargained for. I don't know where I'm going to put all this stuff. Any apostolics decided to move anytime soon? You realize you got to have a yard sale. And you start looking back. And you start realizing, my, God's been good to me. We often don't look at that side of things when we're going through life. We look at the things that we try to measure out and we say, well, I don't know, you know, if I can really give up this attitude. I've been carrying this personification of who I am for all my life. And now for me to go back and look somebody in the eye and say I'm sorry. Whew, that's a tough price to pay. Not sure my ego can handle that. I'm just being real here. We won't physically say that. We won't verbally stand up and give a testimony and say, well, I'm too arrogant to live for God. But oftentimes we demonstrate through our walk with God. And we don't want to give up on that. And I believe in a man being a man. Amen? Can I get an amen in the house? I believe we should be men. I believe we should be godly. I believe we should be holy. But at the same time, there are some things that we don't have to give up. And I know this is not Men's Sunday yet. That's next Sunday. But I don't believe we got to give up our man card to be a Christian. I believe you can be godly and humble. I believe you can still be strong and be a man. And be a man of God and still have a backbone and still be able to say no and still able to look your kids in the eye when they've done wrong and say, you know what? It's not going to work that way in this house. Can I get an amen in the house? But inside of us, there's often a struggle. Some of you sitting here today are in the midst of this struggle that's going on inside of you. There's a longing inside of you to be spiritual. There's a longing inside of you to have compassion. There's a longing inside of you that you hunger after the things of God. There's something inside the heart of you today that says, I want more of God. I've got a taste and I know a little bit of God, but it seems like there's more. There's a deeper relationship with God that I just want to experience. You know what it is? To be merciful, but there's this struggle inside that says there's mercy and then there's right and wrong and they did me wrong and I don't know if I can do that. And there's something inside of you that wants to be pure and it wants to be true and wants to be holy, but yet there's that other side of you that's fighting on the inside and it seems like there's this tussle going on inside of us. I'm going to dig just a little bit today. Because oftentimes when we look at our lives, what's on the inside often manifests itself on the outside. Many times we don't want to admit it, but that husband that can't control his temper, and it does happen. That young lady shows up at the doctor's office, tries to hide what's really going on at home. You get that husband or you get that man off to the side and you really get into what's happening inside the heart. You'll find a man that's not even happy with his own self. You'll find what was happening on the inside begins to manifest itself on the outside because he don't know how to handle that issue on the inside that's a heart issue. And there's things going on in the mind that's struggling with. And oftentimes we wonder why these things happen. And I can tell you why it happens. It's because it's a spiritual issue. Something we never learned to conquer. We never learned to control inside. And it seems to fight against us and battle against us. Even we as apostolics, I'll go a little bit further. Pick on the other halves. And us men, some of us men are the worst at this. Some of us are content to live in clutter. Uh-oh, it's quiet in here now. Some of us are content to allow just stuff, just everywhere around your life. Undone, unkept. And you know what? Often you pry into the spiritual heart of that man or woman. You'll often find a spiritual man that's unkept and it's undone. I believe in doing things right. Pastor, come to help us today. I'm picking us up, believe it or not. I'm Pastor, come to give us a little one of those in the Holy Ghost today. But there are some things that we need to sometimes do an inventory of our house in the spiritual. And you'll find the inventory in your house and the natural will also tidy up. Not that we're bad people. Not that we just, it's just sometimes that thing on the inside seems to battle us and it seems to fight us. And there are some struggles inside of every single person here today. I don't care what level you're at. I don't care how basic you are in your walk with God or how advanced you are in your walk with God. I can guarantee you, if I could peel all the layers off of your mind, even while I'm preaching here right now, there's a battle going on in your mind. When you just strip it all away, it really comes down to what you've learned to deal with in the spiritual side and your mental side, and they go hand in hand. You see, I've preached about it many times. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And it was talking from a man perspective, but that goes for a lady too. Can I get an amen from the men in the house? Wise men, ain't none of them going to say a word in here today. But most of us know that when that struggle is going on, sometimes it's better just to say nothing. And we as individuals, inside our hearts, fight a battle every day. And we know there's something that's going to be given up to get that. And there's something I'm going to have to walk away from to have that. But there's something there that I really want. But I know I'm going to have to change that. And it's almost like we're looking down at this table. And we're starting to put all the building blocks in place to walk with God. And we start measuring the cost. And we start putting this in that category, that in that category. And what am I going to do with this? And my contention as a pastor today is, what are you holding in your hand? What is it that's still clinging to your fingers? That you're holding there? Because what you're touching and what you're hanging on to, I contend, is what still hasn't found a category. You find in the book, in the Old Testament, I'll just leave it at that. You find in the Old Testament, you find a man that was fighting this struggle called a man named Saul. And Saul was fighting this battle inside his mind. And he wanted to have the spiritual and he wanted to have the physical. He wanted to have it both. He wouldn't allow the man of God to just be the man of God. He wanted to take it upon his own hands to be able to do it. You know what he was saying is, I don't need a man of God. I can do this by myself. He never learned that even at the highest of levels, and you can call yourself a king, you'll never be successful without submitting yourself to a man of God. And I know that's old-fashioned preaching, but I'll go a little bit further and tell you that man of God is the one that watches for your soul. He's the one that's calling your shots to tell you there's a roadblock up ahead. There's a situation going on. There's an accident up ahead that you better take a detour here. There's an escape route. It's for your own protection. There's something there that's just alarming that says, I know you can't see it. I know you don't understand it. But understand, if you want to live the blessed life, there's a cost. And the cost is, you got to trust me. You got to look into my mind. You got to look into my heart and say, am I going to trust the man of God or am I not? I'm going to live this life of risk. You see, there's a game we used to play, and it's a game that we all experience. It's a game called aggravation. Anybody ever played aggravation? And you get almost there, and guess what? You're all the way back to the start again. It was so close. There's a reason that game's called aggravation. It's because it's aggravating. But I feel like I'm preaching to some people here today. That's your life every day. You get up in the morning and you think you almost got it right today. And poof, there he is. And you think you almost conquered it. And I about went 2 days without, well, saying that stuff out of my mouth. But then it happens. It seems like you're right back to the start. You're starting all over again. You see, the issue is, what are you holding in your hand? What are you still trying to hang on to? What's still there that hadn't found a category in the building blocks of life? God. Me. Me. God. God. Me. Me. I don't know if I can do that. And we hang on to it. You see, the indecisive nature of man causes man to make bad decisions. And you say, what does that mean? You find Saul is killed and it cost him his children. There was one young man that escaped, and his servant that was helping that young man escape grabbed Mephibosheth up, and in that process, he fell. Mephibosheth was lame from his feet from that day on, and he went to a place called Lodabar, and there he dwelt there in Lodabar. You find a young man that went from sitting at the king's table, living in the king's palace. He had everything right. He had everything in store. He had a future. He had lands that were going to be his. He had property. He had prestige. When he walked out through the camp, everybody knew his name. He had everything in that world. But now you find a man dwelling in hiding. And the Bible said, when David finally said, is there anybody from the house of Saul that I might show kindness to? They said, there's one man. He's lame on his feet. He dwells in Lodabar. And he's a cripple. David said, bring him to me. I find it interesting when it describes Mephibosheth. Said he was unkept. He was dirty. He hadn't cleaned himself. His beard was just all over the place. He was completely unkept. Now picture this. That lifestyle in the kingdom, you would have never found him like that. But the issue with Mephibosheth was he was torn between kingdoms. And he was dwelling in a place and he didn't have purpose. He didn't know where to go or where it was going to come. He had resided to just dwell there and can be content in that place. But I contend he was content there, but he wasn't content. He was uncontent because you can tell it by the way he was acting. The way he was living his life. Somebody that had everything at one time now was reduced to wondering if he was even going to live. You want to see somebody miserable? I'll show you somebody that knows what God can do for you. And you're dwelling between two places. Torn between a decision. Living indecisively in your world. And now you're stuck in a place. And you'll find a person that's confused. They're broken. They're messed up. And they'll be looking for satisfaction and meaning in all the wrong places. And you know what? You dwell there very long. It'll cost you your health. It'll cost you your life. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Because you can't dwell in the land of indecision for too long. Because there comes a point you're going to give up on hope. And when hope is gone, you've lost it all. I find it interesting. You find a man that didn't have anything, but there was a king that found him. What's the most amazing thing to me was David didn't care that he hadn't showered. David didn't care that he didn't look the part of a kingdom kid. David didn't care that he was quite unkempt. Probably had cried more tears than anybody could cry. Didn't have any family left. Didn't have any connections. Didn't have no way to get life back. He was just in survival mode. Anybody ever been there? Just in survival mode. And David said, I want you to come to my place. You don't understand it, but me and your dad had a connection. It was something that was a little more than you'd ever understand. For I remember the time, probably David, his mind began to go back at the times that there was a young man named Jonathan that was trying to do it right. Hear me now. And he had a dad that didn't want to do it right. And there was a young man named Jonathan that was torn between two worlds. Hear me now. You may be sitting here today and your mom and dad didn't get it right. And you're torn between two worlds. Do I follow mom and dad or do I live for God? Where do I dwell? I will tell you the worst place you can dwell is in the undecided category. The sooner you're going to get things together, is the sooner you decide you can't live without a king. You will not survive without a king in your life. The most dangerous place to be is living without a king. There comes a point you're going to realize there's blessings in the king's house. There is joy in the king's house. You know what? I may have to hang my head and say my dad didn't get it right. When I sit at the table and realized my family should have been sitting here, but they're not. You must also realize I am. Can I get an amen in the house? There comes a point that you recognize I've got to make a choice for myself. I got to take a choice for my family here on out. I got to make a choice that says, I'm going to have a king in my life. I don't care if they got it wrong. I don't care if there was abuse in the family. I don't care if there was abuse in the home. I don't care if they were drug addicts. I don't care if they just didn't care about life or if they just really didn't care about anything but themselves. There comes a point every person makes a decision. You know what? It's not on mom and dad anymore. It's not on others anymore. It's not on my heritage anymore. It's not on the things behind me anymore. But now I'm the only one left. What am I going to do with it? We have a choice. We can hang on to our heritage. We can anoint him to be a king in our life. Isn't it funny? David was called a man after God's own heart. He was a man who knew how to serve mercy. And then we read in this particular book that I began to read from today. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall have mercy. He says, if you're willing to give it, you're going to get it. If you're willing to be meek in spirit, humble in your attitude, you know what? Those are just the ones I want to sit at my table. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be. Did you hear that? Shall be filled. You know what that's telling me? You're sitting there with that thing that says, I have a choice here. I can live for God. I can live righteously. I can hunger and thirst after God. But as long as it's still just a hunger and thirst, I won't have it. You know, I get frustrated with people that talk a good game. Huh? You ever seen a person that drives the big fancy car, the hot rod, but is broke down on the side of the road, and they're standing there scratching their head saying, well, it was pretty, but I don't know how to fix it now. And you got the other old boy, his don't look so good. It may have a half a fender over here and a half a fender over there. And it can break down on the side of the road. He'll climb out of that car. He'll open that hood. He'll pull a few things out of the trunk. Before you know it, he's cruising right past old boy in the fancy car. Because he knew how to get her done. You know why? Because he'd been there before. You know, there are some things that if you want to live the blessed life, you look to those that's been down the road and made it. You look to those that bought the t-shirt. They've been there. They're still wearing the t-shirt around. And they tell you, don't ever go there, because Columbia is not a very safe place. You know what? I'm probably not going to Columbia. You know why? Because you've been there. But there are a lot of people that talk a good talk, but they have no walk. They talk about God. They talk about the things of God. But you know what? When it comes time to pick up one foot and put another one down, when it comes time for humility, and it's time for a hunger and thirst after righteousness, there's none there. When it comes time to extend those things of purity and those things that you think they've got it all together at church, and they look the part and they sing the song and they do all the stuff, but when you get them outside the walls, guess what? They're not pure in heart. And you find out they're one of the biggest heathens that's ever walked. Yeah, they're in church too. Not none of ours. Praise the Lord. Just kidding. But the reality is, there comes a point we have to be real. And if we want to live the blessed life, we've got to be pure in heart. You see, the danger in not having a king is you don't belong. And when you get torn between two worlds, your solution is to retreat and eventually mentally defeat. You back up. You pull back. I'm almost done, but I contend you will be mentally defeated before you'll ever be physically defeated. The danger with Mephibosheth is in his mind, it was over. It was done. What do I have to live for? And when he got to that mentality, you know what? He was almost done. I listened to one commentator begin to talk about, he was in a group of psychologists And they brought this person in. And they said, they said they're going to kill themselves. They began to analyze the situation and talk to the person. He left the meeting. One psychiatrist walked over, looked at the other psychiatrist, and he says, they ain't going to kill themselves. How do you know that? He said they was going to. Said, no, they ain't. He said, how do you know that? He said, number one, I was close enough to smell their breath, and they brushed their teeth this morning. They took a shower. They didn't stink. They combed their hair. You know what? That meant they still had something to live for. Pastor, come to tell you, when you wrestle between two worlds, you'll come to a point where you don't have anything to live for. That's a dangerous place to be. And the only solution to it is not a psychiatrist. It's not another self-help group. It's not another high. It's not another chasing after this elusive, lustful lifestyle. It's not a relocation to another community. It's, and all of those things may help your solution to a certain extent to make you feel better about yourself. But the one thing that will change your world is when you take what you're holding on in your hand and you say, you know what? I'm going to trade it for the blessed life. I'm going to trade it for something that I don't understand. I don't know how it works. It's insecure in my mind because I don't know how this whole thing happens. I realize I'm going to have to walk away from friends. I'm going to have to walk away from acquaintances. And even my people that I hang out with, my peeps as I call them, they're going to tell me I'm crazy because I go to that church. But my question for you is, are you going to let it go and continue the life of aggravation? Or are you going to put it in the God category? This is, I'm going to resort to just have a king. And what you miss, hear this, what you miss sometimes as we sit here today, all of us living the blessed life, all of us just sitting here today enjoying the presence of God, what you miss is the second part of every scripture. It says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For they shall be comforted. For they shall inherit the earth. For they shall be filled. For they shall obtain mercy. For they shall see God. For they shall be called the children of God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For they shall be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. Sometimes what we miss is not only do we get to enjoy a good life here, we also inherit a promise of living the blessed life. There comes a point when we've got to decide, every single one of us, I want my edge back. I want my confidence back. I'm tired of walking lackadaisical. And if you want those things back, you don't go to the one that stole them from you in the first place. Last time I checked, he doesn't take it and then give it back. You know what my Bible says? When you come to the king's table, he'll go get it and bring it back. That's how he operates. Because God says, you know what? You're my child now. And you don't fight the battle anymore. I fight the battle for you. And there comes a point you become just like David. And he's standing there and the wives are gone. The children are gone. And they've taken all their tents. They've taken all their goods. And the men are about to kill him. He said, hold on just a minute. Let me encourage myself in the Lord. And now he said, we're going back to battle. And when when we come back, we're going to bring everything that they took from us. There comes a point you realize the enemy is your enemy. He's not your friend. He's came to steal, kill, and destroy. It's time you stand up and you say, I'm not fighting this battle alone anymore, but I've got a king. I've put a king in my life. I've got a king in my life. And with the king comes a kingdom. And with the king now comes somebody to defend the kingdom that you belong to. And you say, well, that's a bit far out, ain't that, preacher? No. It's reality. It's what the world has forgotten and the devil is happy about. That there's blessings when you live for God. And there's blessings when you get it right. And God likes nothing more than to see somebody that's hung their head down and walked under condemnation. And you walk through the city, and people know you who you are. Because of what you were. But last time I checked, when you're a king's kid, there's not a second or third or fourth table. You sit with the king. And you know what? When you walk down the street now, you don't hang your head because the king is walking with you. You got your... I know this is a worldly term, as they call it, but this is the best for the young generation. You got your mojo back. You got a little something that says, you know what, I can do this. You know what, you now walk with a purpose in your step that says, you know what, I'm not walking by myself anymore. You get up in the morning, you say, devil, you're about to have a bad day. Because I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to get it right, I'm going to come home, I'm going to love my family, I'm going to take care of my kids. Can I get an amen in the house? And you know what? I'm going to get a promotion at work. And you know what? I'm going to buy me a car, and I'm going to have a house, and I'm going to take those kids to church every Sunday. And you know what? Devil, not only you going to have a bad day for me, I'm going to make my children the biggest giant slayers, devil, you have ever seen. And I'm going to make them just kick demons around just for the fun of it. And all of a sudden you get a little confidence and you recognize, I'm tired of the devil running roughshod over me. I'm a child of the king because I choose to be. And that's every one of our choice. What are we going to do with it? Let's all stand. I'm coming to a close. You want to know what it takes to be successful in life? Don't look to the televangelist. I'm sorry. I'm going to pick on him. Don't look to the televangelist. I'm going to look to an elder somewhere. Don't have a shiny combine. He got a bin full of corn. You want to know what it takes to raise a family? You find an elder where their children are preaching the gospel. Their kids are loving each other, been married for 15, 20 years. Come on now. You want to know what it takes to raise a boy? Find somebody that's raised some boys and they've been successful and they're living for God and they've got families and they love their wives and they've got a prayer life. And you know what? You'll find the key ingredients is not what you think it is sometimes. You find an old mama somewhere that says, you know what? I remember when my kids went through that. You know what? This is what it takes, sis. If you'll just get down and begin to pray and you talk to God about that, He'll give you the answers and He'll take care of it. If you just somehow remember, there's blessings to living the blessed life. My question for you today is, who do you follow? Where do you seek your counsel from? Where do you find your source of strength? Is it another old song that reminds you of the old man that you just crank it up in the truck and roll the windows down and drive down the back road and you forget about life for a while? Well, we've all been there. We've all done it. You feel like you can go back to life again for a few minutes. And the game of aggravation starts all over again. Pastor come to tell you, comes a point you got to decide who's going to be king in your world. You going to allow God to be God? Or are you going to hold on to you? Allow the world to keep dragging you around, beating you up, and living in a land of indecision that one day is going to cost you your world. And when that happens, there is no choice. It's over. And I know on a picnic Sunday, pastor's not supposed to be straightforward, but you know what? I want to eat a hamburger. I even got some pepper jack cheese if you like the hot cheese on it. Lost y'all, didn't I? As much as I enjoy sitting down with you and eating a hamburger, I'd much rather have you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So, pastor, don't come here just to serve hot dogs and hamburgers. Come to see your soul saved. The reality is, if I don't tell you, you're not going to get it on the TV station. You're probably not going to get it from the radio preacher. The only place you're going to hear it is when an old-fashioned man of God will stand up and say, you've got a choice to make. What are you going to do with it? God still loves you. If you make the right choice, there's blessings that go with it. I wonder, in closing, it's all just family and friends. I wonder how many of us would gather. We don't have to kneel, but how many of us just come around the front? Let's pray together in closing. I don't know where you're at in your walk with life, where you're at in your stage of life. But here today, Pastor came to remind us one more time that Jesus loves you. Jesus won't stop at anything, even to the extent of laying down his life for you. When it don't make sense, he'd already made up his mind. He's thankful Jesus wasn't indecisive when he was walking. He says, well, I'll save him. Maybe I won't. Curse me, will you? I ain't died yet, you know. But he didn't. He said he freely gave himself. He said, God, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. You know what he was saying? I've made up my mind. It's not about me. It's about them. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Heavenly Father, as we come before you right now, God, on this Sunday afternoon, God, there's so many other places they could have been. So many other things they could have done, God, but they chose to come spend it with you. The one representation in the world of a place that you dwell is in this house, God. And they chose to come spend a few hours here. Enjoy the presence of the Almighty God. To this world, it's foreign. They don't make sense to them why we would do this. But they also haven't read the scriptures we've read. They also haven't understood the blessings that we live in. They also don't understand the hope that's broadcast from this place today. Gives people the strength one more time to stand up and give it everything they've got. Get it right. Because it's worth it. For their children. For the next generation. Get up one more time, God, and say, you know what? I'm going to do my best. I may make a mess, God, but if you guide me, I'm going to try to put this thing together, God. put one foot after the other, and I'm going to get as close to you, God, as I can. Don't leave no space between me and you, God, because I got to feel your hand, because I don't know the way. I've not passed this way before. Not sure what all's involved with this, God. I'm asking you, God, to reach down and put your hand in theirs today and let them know, God, you've ordained every step that they take. You've already checked the path. Road is clear. Roadblocks are out of the way. You cleared the trail for them to heaven if they'll choose the right road. Today, God, I'm asking you to impart something in their spirit that'll give them strength one more time. If they've never been baptized in Jesus' name, God, I pray they won't wait another day. They never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God. Don't let them put it off. They need that power to overcome the enemy that's trying to vie for their soul. If they've never found a place of repentance, God, I pray they'll find a place of repentance. They'll give up their will. They'll pick up yours. Leave the old man behind. Walk in a newness of life. So today, God, I ask you to give them some strength. Give them some peace, some joy, some humbleness. Let them make the right choices this week. Bring them back on Wednesday night, God. I'll fill their basket with something else to get them to the next few days. Pretty soon they'll learn to walk on their own. They'll find strength and they'll find the joy. Pretty soon they're going to look back 5 or 6 years down the road. They're going to look back and see their kids living for God, their family living for God. They're going to find that they've got purpose and they've got things. They've got blessings surrounding them that they had no idea that they could ever have. But they'll see them come to pass. Because there's blessings when we choose to allow you to be king of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we lift our hands and love him all across this place? Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, speaking to us today. Thank you, God, for caring about us enough. Reach down and give us a message one more time that just simply says, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. You've been good to us, God. God bless you. I hope I got something inside of somebody's heart today. Let you know God still loves you. Amen. We are going to go have some hamburgers and hot dogs, some brat burgers, whatever they are, steak burgers, whatever they are.